Great delight we enter into the bayit of our great King. We call upon the most excellent name. Give it unto man whereby we must be saved. We call upon you, Almighty Yahweh, in the excellence of your imats, your truth revealed unto Israel, by the presence and power of Yeshua HaMashiach. And as we gather here this Shabbat, for the Shabbat of our Abba, we pray that the ears of the remnant will be open to hear what you speak. And as we prepare our minds and our levim by the certain sound of the shofar,
hallelujah,
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 hallelujah. For it is in your comforting, Almighty Yahweh, the presence of your HaMashiach, Yeshua the Lamb, we delight in the Shabbat. We know that you shall fatten us, feed us with the leshem, the bread that brings the life and the power of your Torah in Israel. We ask all things in your Yeshua's mighty name. You will cause our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our understanding to be enlightened by the revelation of your HaMashiach through the power and revealing of your Torah and the strength of it to Israel. We barak you this Shabbat for all things you grant unto us this day. We ask all of this in Yeshua's mighty name. Israel cried hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, may Yah cause you to hear.
Hallelujah.
And that you may be enriched in the knowledge of Yeshua. Shalom. You may be seated. It is a great delight for Israel to understand the excellence and the beauty of their Abba, Yahweh. For in the Most High there is no error, there is no deception, there is no false ism or any change of turning in Him at all. We as a people that He has elected, we must understand what His Torah teaches. We must have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the power of His Imat, His truth. It is only by that revelation are we free. We're not given unto the slave ship of the world's dictates, but we are free to worship in Shahar, and that is to bow down and to fall prostrate before Yah. We have become so stubborn in our ways that we simply do not delight in the instructions of our Abba to do what He commands us with a delightful ruach. We hear, but we do not perform, nor do we practice what He commands us. In hearing and practicing, it is a viable living part of our lives. We began to understand the very dynamics and the power of Almighty Yahweh. We are a people that really do not know Him. We cry out in His name, but we really do not know the Most High, the most powerful one that created all things. And let man say that all things have come by this form of evolution. I simply ask them, where did the evolution begin? Well, it began with a microbiotic. Well, where did that begin? Well, that began with a subparticle, but where did that begin? That came out of the black hole. Where did the black hole, how was that created? And so there's endless questions. We find all the answers we need in His truth. In this profound, and it is so profound, that even the natural man cannot comprehend. That's why he toils and wrestles continuously with the word of Yahweh. Because our minds that are carnal, they must be changed into this spiritual mind by renewing. And that only comes by the hearing of the word of Yah. Because the natural mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against the Torah of Yah. It can never understand it. Neither indeed can it ever comprehend the spiritual values of the Torah of Yah. We must understand that He is greater than what our concept of Him is. What our knowledge of Yahweh, He is greater than that. To try to depict Him or express the dynamics of Yah in these simple verbiage of our speech patterns, it cannot be done. So He must be revealed unto us by His living emat, His truth. And that is only through Yahshua HaMashiach. That's why He is not a reality to Israel. And what He speaks unto Israel does not cause the love to be filled with exceeding great joyfulness that it is expressed in their praises unto Him. And so that's why there's very little praises unto Yah. And the only way He's going to get us to that point, there must be great trials that must try us. And it is coming upon the face of the earth as we see the very cataclysmic mayhem that is transpiring in the earth today. And there's a reason behind it all. And I want to bring with some clarity to the reason that we see the things that are happening. And what we see that is happening today, it is not only affecting this nation, but it's affecting the world abroad. Every nation. And there is a reason why. Because the world is drunken by the seductiveness, the spirit of witchcraft that has come. Because the gates of evil and wickedness have been opened beyond even what measures can be calculated in the mind of man. But there is a security unto Israel. And I want to read this in a preference or preface to the beginning of this message today that I do want to impart unto Israel, if it's nothing but a centennial of truth, that we may grasp hold to that and hold on that for the battle that we are in this hour. The word of Yah came unto Yeshaya, Isaiah, and he speaks unto Israel that we must look unto Him for all things. We cannot look unto the world. We cannot be so captivated with the world that we forget Yah. And he says this in Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 22. Yahweh says to us, the remnant of His election. He says to Israel, look unto Me. Look unto Me. Look unto Me. Look unto Me. This is what Yah commands Israel, and be you saved. You will not be saved unless you look unto Yahweh. There is no deliverance, brothers and sisters, unless we look unto Yahweh. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto Me and be saved. Look unto Yahweh that you may be saved. All the ends of the earth, He says, for I am Yahweh. And there is none else. There is no other one that can deliver you. There is no one else that can breathe breath and life into a piece of clay that it become a viable nefesh, a soul that lives, that has life in it. So He commands us to look unto Him, that you may be saved, even unto the ends of the earth. Look unto Almighty Yah. He said, for I have declared, I have sworn, I have established by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth. En sodik. En sodikam. He said, the words that I speak, they have gone out in righteousness. I have declared, I have sworn unto you, that what I say, that my Siddiq, my righteousness is an everlasting one. It never fades. And my Torah, my instructions unto Israel, that is what makes us free. And shall not return. The words of Yah will not return unto him. That unto me, he declares, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall declare. Surely shall one say, in you, Almighty Yahweh, have I righteousness and strength. Even to him, you see where our Siddiq and our strength come from. It is in Yahweh. And in him we find his strength, and that is the power of his HaMashiach, Yeshua. He say, even to him shall men come, and all that are incest against him shall be ashamed. So when you get angry or incest with Almighty Yahweh, because you think that he is insensitive to you, then you shall be ashamed. But this is our assurance. He says, in Yahweh shall all, shall call everyone, the whole, every aspect of it, in Yahweh shall call all, the sea, the zirah, that which brings forth life, the zirah of Israel, shall be justified. They shall be Siddiq. They shall be made righteous in Yahweh. We're not going to be made righteous outside of him. There is no other alternative. But we must be in him. And we find ourselves in him, in Yeshua. Because in Yeshua we move, we have our Haya, we live, and we have the substance of life in Yeshua. For Yeshua is the word of the bosom of Yahweh, Israel. We must come to the finite, simple understandings of the truth of Almighty Yah. We have toiled and labored in the vineyard of darkness too long. And the way we began to become enlightened, we must have the ear to hear what the Ruach, the Spirit of Yah, speaks unto his people. And we must delight in that. We must not become incensed with Yah, who he speaks to us. And we verbally speak against him with our attitude and our actions. We must hear what Yahweh says, because he is greater than us. He is much larger than us. He is Gadol. He is Gadol. He is great, and his power is immeasurable. That's how big he is. That's how mighty he is. There is no one like him. No one like Yah. No one at all. We must understand that. As I said, that I was thinking the other day that Sister Roberts had some of the little girls to spend the night. And that morning when we awakened, I was in my office in Hadassah. We were talking, and I said to her, you say to your daddy, Avat Bukotav, when he wakes up in the morning. And she says to me, she says, Pastor Roberts, my daddy, he's a good man. Then she says, Pastor Roberts, my daddy is a big good man. He's a good man. And so it was so reverberating to hear the words of a child that we must speak with that kind of mindset toward Yah, that he is tough unto us all the time. He is greater than the circumstances that have arisen in this nation, and that permeates throughout the entire world. As Shaitan is trying to find the remnant of the seed of Israel, because they will cry out, we must go back to the ways, we must walk in the direct or the pathway of Mizraim, of Egypt. And they will begin to pursue the death, what they call life, In Mizraim, and there is no consciousness of sin, there is no acknowledging of the Torah and the emats of former Yahweh. So Yahweh is bigger than us. He is greater than the philosophies of men. He is more dynamic than the mathematical equations that they formulate to equate to a certain dynamic or a certain law. For his Torah is greater than the law of the Torah of mathematics. For he cannot be found in the mathematics, but he can be found in his HaMashiach. So he is bigger. He is a tough, big one. Hallelujah. He is God all, he is greater than greats. There is no superlative to describe the magnitude and the greatness of Yah. That's why he says that in Yahweh shall all the Zerah of Israel be justified, and they shall be honored, and they shall be esteemed. They shall be honored only in Yahweh. So he speaks this to us, Israel, for us to understand. Who does he want to understand? He wants the remnant of the elect woman, the seed, to understand. Even Yeshua, he even speaks in a greater dynamics of this mighty magnitude of Yah. In verse 3 of chapter 46. Yah says, even as Nebo was brought down and stooped down, his great wealth and his riches were eradicated from him. Yah says unto Jacob and the remnant of Israel, he says in verse 3, he says, Shemach, he says, I want you to hear and listen. I want you to give attentive to what I speak and understand each detail because it is great. He says, I want you to hear, listen unto me. It's what Yahweh commands us. O Bayet of Jacob, and all the remnant of the Bayet of Israel, which are born by me from my belly. For our birth has come from Yahweh. He said, you have been born, you have been birthed by me from my belly. What? The belly of his living Torah, his truth, that has come from the seed or the strength of life. It is from his belly that we've been born. It is from the belly of Yah that we have been birthed. It is from his foreknowledge that he has born us and birthed us, that we may be enlightened. But he wants us to shemach, to listen, to give attentive our ears unto what the word of Yah speaks unto Israel. And the bayit of Yaakov, that there be no dissension, no separation. We be one echad in Yahshua HaMashiach. He said, which are carried from the womb. He said, I birthed you from my belly because I've carried you in my womb. Like a mother births a seed in her, she carries it from her womb. There is a tenderness, a consciousness, a care of that Zerah. So it is with Almighty Yahweh, that which he has birthed from his belly, that he has brought forth the Zerah from his belly, that there is a great concern that he shall save. And he shall justify the remnant of Israel. You notice, he talks about a remnant, a small piece of the whole. He talks about just a small piece of the whole. Let me say this to us, Israel. All that testify of him, they are not of him. When a man says he loves Yah and keep not the mitzvah, the commandments, he is a damned of a liar, and there is no truth in him. I don't care what and how, whom you got, who you relate to try to twist that. That is the word of Yahweh. You can't justify yourself within the context of your own arrogance, your own pride. But what he has said, he said his words. His word, his daba, the power of his speech, the power of his ability to talk unto us. His word shall go out of his mouth and it shall not return. It goes out. It accomplishes all he commands for it to do. We obey the wickedness of man and look at what trouble it has us in. We do what man says, and look at how dead we are. We must obey Yahweh and keep the commandments of Almighty Yah. They're not done away with. Well, I don't believe that. Then the hypocrisy of Christendom, then tell me what gods you have before you beside the one you call gods. You're full of their hypocrisy, their lies. They're full of their phonyism, their duplicity, their false. You speak one thing and you show one action, but the heart is not sincere. Period. It is not. He says, for your assurance, Israel, for our strength in verse 4, and even to your old age, when you're old, when you are senile, when your strength has abated you, you do not have the vigorous content of life as you once had when that euphoric of life, as you began to understand it, sprung from you as a child. When a child begins to walk, they do not want anyone really carrying them. They want to walk. When they understand a certain apparatus that entertains them, they really want to be entertained by that. And they have a lifeless source of energy that flows from them. And Yahweh says that even to your old age, I am He. From your birth, when life began to fade, the eyes began to come dimmer, the strength began to abate. Your walk is not as brisk and fast as it was in your youth. Your memory is not as vivid and alive as it was in your midlife. When crises arises in your life, there is no energy to combat them, but you must trust Almighty Yah. Even unto your old age, He said, I am He. Even to your gray hairs, your gray hairs. Yah says, when you're gray and have no strength to get up, as the Evangelist Horn would say, if I can't say a thing, let me just wave my hand. Yahweh says, even with your gray head, your hair, He says, Yahweh says, will I carry you? For I shall bear you up, and I shall carry you in the midst of all of the debacle and the great affliction that shall come. What do we do? How do we turn? Where do we turn? You turn to the living Torah of Yah. He said, when you're gray and you do not have the strength of the youthfulness you once possessed, and how do I take myself from this place to that place? Yah says, I will carry you. There's assurance to Israel. He wants us to shemach. He wants us to hear what He speaks unto us. That it become an integrated part of our lives. That our lives are integrated into that. Not that the word of Yah is integrated into us, but that we integrate our lives. And that it become the full and the total apparatus of change and growth in our lives. We must do that. It has to be done that. We Israel. He says, even I will carry you. He says, I have made. He made you, Israel. We did not make ourselves. We cannot make one leaf. You cannot even make one of the smallest microbiotics. There's nothing we can make. He says, I have made you. And I will be, and I will bear. I made you. And I will bear you. Even in our follies and even in our mistrust, our distrust, our disloyalties to Him, He said, I will bear you up. He's going to bear up Israel. He says, you can't walk because you, the strength of your physical being will not support you. But there's a lively tikvah hope in your love. It causes you to rise and to praise me. It causes you even when the most cataclysmic trials that are so vehement try you. He said, cause you even to rise up with the considerable praises and delight in me. He says, the reason why, because even I will carry you, I will carry you over. And Yah says, and I will deliver you. I will Yashok. I will Yahshua. And that is what he wants Israel to hear. Now, I preface this because of what I want to really entrust us with today. As I do believe that I was led by the Ruach of Yah, not by some kind of intelligent form that I possess, because I possess none at all. All that I have and all that I understand, I owe it unto my Abba. I possess nothing of my own. I have no strength of my own, because I find my strength in Yahshua HaMashiach. And we need the word of Yah spoken unto us. We must understand that this dilemma that we see today that is transpiring, when tens of thousands, 156,000 in these United States have lost their jobs. Do you understand the ripple effect of those in Canada and the market there on the continent of Africa? Do you understand what happens throughout much of the world because of the wickedness, the greed, and the sinful nature of a people in this nation? You must understand that Israel, everything that they endured, was to show the nations and to be an example to the nations that this people whom Yah has elected, whom he has called for his purpose, that he may be honored, that whatever they endure or whatever trials of great afflictions that are bared upon them, it is because they have gone away from the Torah of Yah. Israel was elected by Yah, that the world may see the light of the Torah, that they may understand the dynamics of the Torah of Yah, that they may walk in the strength of his HaMashiach, that there may be a great delight in Yahweh Almighty. But she has turned, and she has gone after Balaam. She has the statues of Belapurah, Balaam, Amri, and other house of Ahab. She will not walk at the statues of Yahweh. That he gives us statutes. He gives us limitations. That is what the hookah or the statutes of Yah are. They are to limit us and to limit our flesh. That it becomes erratic and practice things that are detrimental, full of death to us. That we began to die. There's no strength in us. And so everything that transitioned in Israel, it was a warning to the nations. It was a warning to those that looked afar off and said, who are these people? Where have they come from? Who is their Most High? Who is the one that supplies them with bread? When our fields are overtaken with a canker, who is the one that caused their crops to produce abundantly? When there is not a measure for our home to feed our people. Who is this people that our wells are dry, and yet they're lively, and the wells runs with the living water, the Mayam of Omaria? Who is this people that I may know the one that they serve, and that we may declare that name as Nebuchadnezzar did, that is great among even the gods? Who is this one? Because we have learned the ways of the heathens, we have denied the power of Yah. And because of that, we see the calamities and the great agony and the weariness. People losing their homes, their jobs after 30 years. And they had all of their stock in corporate life. And now they are dismissed with nothing at all. Well, my job loves me. You are a fool. The rich despise the poor. Your job does not love you. Those that you are employed by do not give a nickel worth of rat's dung. You miss work. You become shoddy in your job and see how much they love you. Yah loves us even when we fall, doesn't he? And we are not the best example, not even to each other, of the greatness of Yah. Full of folly and triviality and this wicked thing you call a hava, it is full of dissimulation. It is so false. It is not even sincere, because there's one thing about the greatness of the Ahava of Yah. When He speaks to me, there's something that changes my mind, my concept, my thoughts, my attitude. It changes me. When Yah speaks to me out of the chronicle of the scroll that He has given unto me, it changes me. Why? Because there's a witness in my lev that bears witness that this is the Emet, or the Omein, the truth of Yah. And so it is superficial, it is false, and it has none of the elements of Yah's true Ahava. Because one side of the true Ahava of Yah, it is this. You know what it is? I will tell us. The true Ahava of Yah, it suffers long. It suffers long. It suffers long. It endures. It has the patience of endurance. Well, what is patient? It is the ability to suffer the afflictions without murmuring and complaining. For we look unto the hill, to the high place, from where our help, our succor, comes from. And it comes from Yah. So we have flunked the first primary elements of the Ahava of Almighty Yahweh. We speak highly of ourselves. But what about my brother? Or my sister? It was wonderful what little Hadassah says, because it speaks highly of the pattern and the example in her home that, quote, my daddy is a good big man, unquote. Didn't say much about Pastor Roberts, but that's all right. Hallelujah. I want to speak to us concerning the effect and the effect, how it has affected, and it will affect your mind, your thoughts, as to what things that are transpiring. What is the reason? Why is this, Yah? Here it is that this nation is wicked. And the prophets of Baal, they prophesied by divination, by demonic sorcery. I will show you what they prophesy. I will show you that their statues are the statues of Omri out of the house of Ahab, wicked, unclean, and vile. I want to say to us, Israel, we can pretend all we want to. You can procrastinate. You can think that Yah is playing around. We can continue in our foolishness, our wicked practices, our rejection of Yah. But there is an end to the road that is coming. And every man must stand before the judgment seat of Yahweh, because He has invested something in every man. The breath of Hayah. He gives us life. And He expects usury. He expects a reward on what He has given you. He expects that. And if there is no rewards unto Him, then His sowing has been in vain. And Yahweh does not like to lose His zira, His seeds. He doesn't. And that's why we can't see. He would say, Yisrael, you stand back and watch my hand. Gideon, 300 men, and we shall overcome the perils of hell, The forces that battle against Israel, and that is what your tongue is doing in this hour. Were they not oppressed in Mizraim? They were oppressed. Well, how were they identified when the Nobi of Yah, he went on to Pharaoh and said, Yahweh commands. And the book of Yosha says that Pharaoh, he searched all the books, but he could not find that name. He said, who is this one? And he said, Yahweh said, let my people go. He did not say, let the people go, but he put an exclamation mark there. They are my people. And I want you to let them go. And Pharaoh began to oppress them even the greater. We may think that all that transpired within a couple of weeks. That's not so. You have looked at your Charleston, wicked Helston, and these phony images of Yahweh and these pictures that project what things took place. We must learn it from the book. These were wicked men, and they did it for money. The love of money is the root of evil. This nation is evil. The nations are drunken with her wines, with her violence and her death. And Yah says there's a reason why, Israel, we are the friends of Yahshua. We're no more servants, as he says, Eved, servants, those that prostrate and serve him submissively, obediently. He says, even though you're no more servants, I call you friends. Because I want you to understand what Yah wants you to know, because I am this living truth. And I want you to understand the dynamics and the power of this. So Yahweh must, as we are friends, he reveals unto us. And he shows us the patterns of Israel when they began to go astray from the statutes, the principles of Yah. And they began to develop their own statutes based upon the deceitfulness of their own corrupt minds, like the mind of Omri. And the mind of Ahab, that they denied the power of the living Yah, and they had no great affection for his mitzvah, and his Torah was not a part of their practical lifestyles. And when that become an institution in a nation, in a people, in the mind of any individual, then there is a mishpatim, judgments that shall come upon that people. And that nation. I want to read from the book as David speaks unto us in Tehillim. Psalms, listen. Psalms 73, Tehillim. In 73 verse 1. This is the psalm or the teaching of the Mizmor, the beautiful melody. Of the psalmist, or of the words of David concerning Asaph. Asaph is the gathering of his people, Asaph. And this is the psalm of Asaph, the Mizraim of Asaph. It says in Tehillim, Psalm 73:1, Yahweh says, Ach, or truly, indeed, surely, and he says that emphatically. That's why he used the word ach. Truly. He says, I speak emphatically. I speak with directive. Yahweh is tav to Israel, even to such that are of a ba or a clean, a pure, a sincere lev. That ba of Yah, it entails a love that is empty, that is cleansed, a love that is empty of the spirit of Mizraim. So Yah is tough to those that whose love it is clean, it is bah. The hearts are empty with assaults and accusations against Yahweh. We accuse him. The world does that all the time. They say, quote, if God is God, then why are these things happening? Unquote. Well, Yah is great. And he brings mishpatim, judgments upon a people, nations, that defies His Torah and that renounces Him and the power of His living source, Yeshua. And that is a fact. Yah says, as David expressed to Israel, but as for me, David says, listen carefully. David said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well near or well nigh slipped. I almost fell. I was caught up and I nearly fell or have fallen and come short of the honor of Almighty Yah, His splendor. There's a splendor that Yah has for Israel. It's beyond our comprehension. And the reason we never get that, because we're always slipping, sliding, and falling. He did not say, I fell. He said, almost. I almost fell. My feet were almost gone, and my derrick, or my steps, the way, are nearly slipped. Why, David? He said, first of all, for I was kana. I was envious at the foolishness. May I stop there? That Israel is kana with the foolishness of the wicked. They think that the wicked, because they spread their wings, that they're having such great fun and their appetites is so delicious that we began to look at that. They're wicked. They're foolish. They're wicked. And so he said that these things, I was envious. Why would a man that had all the great riches be envious of the foolishness of men? Why would we be envious when we have the riches of Yah in Yeshua? He said, when I saw the prosperity, the shalom, the false security, the false at-easement. He said, when I saw the shalom, when I saw the prosperity, and that is the shalom of Yah. When you say shalom to Israel, you speak in the prosperity of Yah, the health of Yah, the wisdom of Yah. And so David said, when I saw the shalom. So we look at the wicked and we think that they are just relishing in their regalia of life. But they're full of death. We look unto Yah. Turn our eyes upon Yeshua, for Yah cares for Israel. He says, when I saw the prosperity of, the Rasha, the wicked. Those that are guilty, they are criminals. They are guilty of a blatant sin against Yahweh. They have no appetite for the pure things of Yah. And David says, I almost slipped because I was envious of them. I saw their lifestyles that it seemed so entertaining. Their football games, their basketball games. How wicked. I was in the store yesterday picking up some of the $5 shirts, two of them, at Maxway. I knew what I wanted to get, and I got it and got out. And a man said to me, he was elderly, in his 70s. He saw what I was purchasing, and he says to me, you're getting ready for the winter. So I nodded at the elderly man. He says to me, you must be going to the ball game. I says, that's beyond me because I'm too old for that. You answer the folly of the foolish according to their folly. I will not, nor was I willing to try to explain to him my reasoning behind that. So he retorted. He says to me, you're not that old because I am older than you. And I see them out there older than me. Quote, jumping up and down unquote. I did not respond but to the pure of those that have the clean mind, that are empty. They're able to hear. I sensed what he was saying, and my thought, yeah, that you tell me these same old folks can jump up and down over ball. A daddy can take his sons and daughters to be entertained by such folly and frivolous foolishness. And yet there is no delight in the Torah of Yah. Mother can go out and jump up and down over a stupid pigskin unclean ball. And yet when it comes to Yah, thank you, O man, for the words of understanding and wisdom. I shall delight in my Abba. I'm not going to jump up and down over damnable, stupid football, or because the Green Bay Packers are on the tube. I will give my ears over, my mind over unto the delight of the Torah of Yah. You think you're going in, but you are a fool. You have learned the starches of Amri and the statues of Ahab. Wickedness proceeds out, and wickedness goes out of the loins. Yah is not playing, Israel. Let me move on. Hallelujah. David says, in verse 4, for there is no pain in their death. There is no destruction. It seems as though that their lives are endless, and they live on. But precious in the sight of Yah is the muth, the death, the dying out. Not only the natural death, but the death that causes us to cease from the fleshly activities. As we will sing the song, we're sold out. We're bought out. All that we do is to please Yah. He said, but their prominence is firm. They are not in amor. They are not in deep depression. They are not weary in their bodies, in their mind. He's talking about a people. They're not weary in their minds, their bodies. Their skin looks healthy because they died on the very delicacies of the world. They make sure that they don't eat what they sell you, because they eat the organic masses of excellent food, and they make sure that what is grown from them, if it has to be flown in barter beef from France. And they do that all the time. I was thinking the other day, I said, you can imagine men like Mr. Gates. You can look at them, and I know that these men are glutton men. They're hogs and they're dogs, and they eat all the time. But they said they do not eat the way that the masses of the poor eat. They do not. Mr. Buffett doesn't eat like us. There are things he will not touch. Do you understand? So it is in the spiritual realm. He walks in a spiritual realm as well. He walks in a realm of demonic power, soothsayers and divination, and prophesying and speech. They, in a market of trying to speculate and speculators. That's all they are, soothsayers, fortune tellers in the market. Have they not been doing that with the gas? Oh, I'm going to get to the depths of what I want to teach. Whether you're with me or not, there's someone that will hear me. I said to Elder Martin, one wrote me a letter yesterday and says, Pastor Roberts, declare the truth the way you're declaring it. Because it is the truth. Don't back down. That I will not do. You understand? And so the orders must come from somewhere. Do our orders come from Yah? Our commands come from Him. So are the commands of this powerful world of darkness. They have commands. Jotan raised up priests, leaders, and rulers to take and captivate the minds of the people. And they have a way of captivating you to take your mind away from Yah. It's on football and basketball. It's on baseball and track and on sexual improprieties. That's what the mind is on today. It is on the wicked and not on Yah. My mind is on the things of that are heavenly. I delight in Yahshua. You can't delight in the world, and your children, your sons, and your daughters. I delight in Yahshua. Hallelujah. And so they are not in Amar, they're not wearing their bodies and their mind as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Yahweh says, therefore, their ga'ava, their pride, their arrogance, their boastfulness compass them about as chains. They are bound by their own pride, their own arrogance, their lofty speech. The way they look at those that they perceive that are not of their quote equal unquote. He said they're bound in their chains and their arrogance. He says in chains. He says, look at this word he used here. He says, violence. Hamas. You've heard of Hamas, haven't you? The group, that's where they get their name from, the Arabic expression violence. They say, we're going to overtake, we're going to throw and overthrow this Zionist nation that are false imposters, that are liars and deceivers, and that's what they are. They're liars and they're murderers. They're full of death and hell. I'm not fearful to say that. That is not the zero of Israel in that land of Palestine. Is there a remnant of the zero of Yahweh? Well, certainly there is. But they're wicked dogs birthed out of hell. Come from the belly of their father, Shatan. Yahshua said, even unto the Yahdims, you have your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in truth. So you tell me that that nation we call Israel of Palestine, it is a nation that dwells in truth. It is a false nation built by the Zionists, this conglomerate of world powers to oppress, and they suppress, they oppress those that are called Palestinians. That is just the truth. You can reject that any way you want to. It is what it is. Sadiq. It is not this damnable military nuclear power that exalts a nation. It is the righteousness of Yah that exalts any nation. That's what the word of Yah says. And sin is a reproach. It is a reproach. It is a shame to any people. It is a sadiq. It is the righteousness of Yah. And if that which we call Israel in the land of Palestine was true Israel, you don't need weapons or military power to exalt you. When Yah exalted Israel among Mishraim, he destroyed the whole powerful army of Mishraim. He exalted them that the nation said, who is this people that the mighty one has brought out? Who is this one that they serve? And so we've been training our minds through this paradigm of Horam, as Elder Bynum brought this out to us. That spirit of Horam and that great whore, as he brought her, it is not the Catholic whorehouse, but she is an offspring from her. It has come out of the belly of Israel. Search every scripture. I have looked at every last one of them. Oh, Horam, at unclean spirits, adultery, at fornication. It was birthed among Israel, not out of this Jezebel, this superficial thing. That is what the power of the Zionist power is using, this thing that is superficial. We call the Catholic whorehouse. It is actually coming from the belly of the Zionists and the minds to control the world. Don't give me that. The Catholic whorehouse doesn't control the world. You can call the Pope a punk and get by with it. You say anything against the land of the place we call Israel, you're dead. You're teaching anti-Semitism. You're teaching anti... There's not one spirit of Horam. And this whore that Revelation talks about, she is a whore that was birthed among Israel. Rome is on more than seven hills. I do my research. There are seven hills in Israel, the land we call Israel, that every child must remember. I'll teach on that soon, too. Oh, we've been trained in a paradigm of Christianity, which is a tool of Shatan, that he wants to protect his seed and his children. Hallelujah. You will get all hell raised at you if you say that those that are in the land of Israel are not the true Israelites. Folks will raise hell with you. And so Shatan must always disguise. He must always come with an alternate plan. So we must go back to the Torah, the book, and see how everything is answered in the Torah. Every kind of strange religion that arose came out of a people rejecting the Torah. Every kind of God that was made and created, it came out of a people rejecting the Torah. The spirit of whoredom came from under the seed of those that were elected by Yahweh. The spirit is coming out of Israel. That's where it's coming out of, brothers and sisters. And so we have this false identity that you cannot speak anything against those that call themselves, quote, Jews, unquote. Hallelujah. And if you say anything, then you are anti. It's not the truth. We must have line upon line, line upon line. We must understand the precepts of Almighty Yah. We have been trained in a certain way. It is not the appropriate way. It is not. That's why we need those men that Yah has given unto us that will teach us and guide us. Someone wrote me about the message of Elder Wyman. Say, what a powerful message. That strengthened me. I can eat on that. That's all right. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. We need the liveliness of the word of Yah. Hallelujah. And so the purple garments and all that, that indicates more than just the get grab or the gear or the wear that people wear. Why would not Shaitan do that, cause him to dress that way, that he can really take his eyes off the ones that are the perpetrators of the whole damnable, deceivable wickedness? You can't discern a damn thing with your natural eyes. The awe of Yah, the iron, the iron, the iron, the iron, the iron, the eye of the rock. It is the revelation of the light of Yahshua. You ain't discerning nothing by looking. You get nothing by looking. You look at something, you don't even see the same thing. They have these puzzles in the paper on Shabbat. They have the heart, when the ones that are not so difficult. And they have a picture that, if you look at the picture, there are two pictures. And they're totally different. But they are so subtle. And I like playing the puzzle. The pictures are so subtle that you will miss it if you're not attentive to every detail. Do you all hear me? So that's what Shaitan has done. He has caused the people not to be attentive to every detail, just partial, based upon an interpretation of deceived men that are full of lies and wickedness. We shall know the truth, Israel. That's why I pray your son will be the prophet, a strength. I'd rather have that than $1 million. 10 million. For the monies mean nothing. So Yah says, David, he saw the sea began to rise in him. And that was the reason, brothers and sisters, follow me through. He says, their pride, their arrogance compassed them about chains, and their violence, the Hamas covered them like a sheath, a garment. That's what it covers them like a sheath. So their violence is full of cruelty, and they don't care how they deal with the people. They're wrong, and their applications of the law, they're unjust. There's no justice. They do things in an unjust way. And there are two things about this word Hamas that are so indicative of our time now. They get gained by oppression. They gain by oppression. Now I want you to retain this, because as I go deeper into this, I hope I can finish it today. And if I don't, then you brothers, search it out. And you can bring it even in a clearer, more format than this simple mind here. And so the Hamas, is that what Hamas fighting for within Israel? They want their land, so they want to gain. And so what Israel is having, the same kind of violence, the land or the Zionist government, and they want to oppress and kill the people. Look, what a man, if his skin is black or brown, if he's wrong, he's wrong. If a man is a white man or a Caucasian, he's wrong and he's wicked, you call it that. Those that say they are Jews, they are wrong, call it wrong. Yah tells us, he says, Hava, your enemy. He says, love your enemy. And if they're the enemies of those folks, love them. Hallelujah. He tells us another thing that those that are in the land of Palestine will not do. He said, if your enemy is hungry, tear up his garden. What? Feed your enemy. Feed him. Feed him. If someone is upset with you, you feed them. We owe the man some money, and he said that we owed him that. I said, okay, we'll pay you that. I didn't pay him all, but one thing I did do, I gave him enough money to go and eat. There's a purpose behind that. Now, you don't give him $100 to go eat. You got to know what you're doing. And I know what I am doing. There's some of us that are wiser than others in certain
principles and practices that you are wiser than them in other principles and practices. And you two together, you can work a very dynamic order in the assembly of Almighty God. We can't do that. But because we are chained about with arrogance, we can't do that. So Hamas, he said they're chained about with Hamas. And we don't see the violence that has been perpetrated today in this nation. These perpetrators, out of reading one article, said that even in the Senate, that it was given unto them that there will be martial law in this nation unless this bill passed. They are greedy dogs. They oppress the poor. They oppress the hireling. Little women out there working. Here they are, this damnable, wicked, vile nation, the government of these rich, fat, super rich men that declare all order. And I want to say, I don't give a damn what anyone says. It is not the brown skin that matter, the black man. These are white, powerful men that run the world. They establish the power, and they are calling the Hamas. We must call truth and not be afraid. That's who's doing it. In every part of the world, they have a Hamas. They're violent. And here they said that the nation... I want to tell you something, all white folks and black folks, you better get out of that damned of a spirit. And you better acknowledge your truth. If you're a white man, you're going to hell, period. You don't justify what a wicked white man does, nor do you justify what a wicked black man does. But in this instance, the market and the way the finance is going, it is not because there's a little wicked black man, there's a little wicked white man there. Let's call it like it is. Call sin, sin. You free yourself from the damn white ways and the black ways. They bring you under captivity and bondage. Hallelujah. We're so afraid to speak the truth. These cowardly men speak the truth. Hallelujah. That's who's running things. It's not Mr. Chavez down there in Venezuela. It's not Mr. Mugabe there in Zimbabwe. You can say what you want to. It's the power for the rich. They have gone back and colonized Africa. They're taking it because the riches of the oil, they're taking it. And they got puppets and men that just greedy for a dollar. I will show us what the wickedness. I will show you why this nation, and she is going to fall. She's oppressing the poor. She's taking a little woman that they say that these same pundits, a pundit is supposed to be an intelligent man, a woman that understands political arena or can speak in that arena. So they call them pundits, that we are so ignorant we will never understand what a pundit is. So they're supposed to be the intellectuals, they're supposed to be the philosophers, they're supposed to be the ones that have the expertise and the knowledge of what things are transcendent. Now all these pundits, these damn wicked dogs, you tell me they could not foresee what was going to happen? But the book does. You tell me all these wise Harvard, MIT grads, Carnegie Mellon and Cal Poly grads, Duke universities, this educational democracy we have in America, no one can see the hell twistedness of this wickedness. They could not. They could not. Because they're living in a surreal world, a world that is full of caricature, is full of cartoonish ways. That's what it's full of. That's what it's full of. It's not a reality. You only got to find the reality in the Torah of Yah. We must deal with it face on, straight up, brothers and sisters. And you cannot be ashamed or cowed down to deal with the wickedness of this vile nation. Yah shows us the state of Israel to warn the heathens or the goyims, the nations of the world. You practice this. This is what you're going to condescend into. And this nation is going beyond that. It is going beyond the practices of Hamas. It oppresses the little mother with the baby. She must work all day long for 7 hours an hour. She can hardly go back and forth to work. Her tears and agony while the rich man, his profits increase. And he sits back. He's fat. His belly, his mind is fat. His arrogance. He see her. Well, why you didn't come to work? My baby was sick. Well, you fired. And she's in agony. Where do I turn? How do I get help? And she don't want to help me. His daddy has gone and forgotten the Torah of Yah, and he's trying to please this wicked society. Forget Yah, to hell with Yah, and they say, to the off time. Brother James and I were talking there. I said to him, I said, there are about 12,000 people that work for Wachovia. Well, it's 16,000, and they're going to lose their jobs. You understand? There's a great battle over as to who's going to buy now. Wells Fargo, who's going to come ante up or pony up with the money? Well, what monies are they using? Do you understand what this bill is? We don't understand it. I'll tell you how large the bill was. It was 450 pages. You don't even read the Renewed Covenant. You definitely would not read that. You will not even look at that. 450 pages. Tax breaks for those that make wooden arrows. For all the large conglomerates, the race and conglomerates of the race cars where tens of thousands of people go and watch these phony dogs. They added another $100 billion. It's $810 billion. $25 billion to the car industry. Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger says, we need to bail out as well because California is going under. The governor of New York says we cannot meet our budget. This is a crisis beyond proportion. And we that trust in Almighty Yah, if you don't trust in Yah, you're going to succumb to it. You're going to succumb to it. Don't think that you're going to wait until all agony and hell break loose. You're going to call upon him. He's going to answer. He's going to mark you in your damn calamity. You're unfaithful. You don't give to Yah. You have no heart to give to him, but you got a heart to give to the wicked and give everything to the wicked. But there's no love for Yah. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to preach whether you concur with me or not. It makes no difference. Hallelujah. I'm certainly not preaching for money. There's not enough. And I know among us there still cannot be enough. If you got and had what you had before you came here, still would not be enough. Hallelujah. Listen to this. He says, David says, and their violence, the Hamas, covered them like a sheath, like a garment. That's how their violence covered them. And this nation is full of violence. Look in your cities. Look at the babies, as Elder Wyman said, Roe versus Wade, the beginning of abortion. Over 36-38 million babies birthed in the legal process, destroyed and killed. And how many more that have been destroyed without the ability of them for scientific purposes and that kind of stuff. It's a nation of death. It's a nation of Hamas, the oppressor. And everyone is trying to get gain. Everyone is going to get gain. They lie, they steal, and they cheat for gain. It is an unjust and an unrighteous nation. And there's a reward for it. I had said I wanted to take my time today. I will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when you thrust something in my rock, I just speak it. I try to, sometimes as I look at scriptures, try to lay out a pattern as the way I will go, but it never works. It never works. I have never been able to conscript things and follow the script. Never. So that's why I just put the scriptures in the book, and whatever way Yah leads me, that I will go. Now, I want to emphasize this violence here for one moment, this Hamas. Hold that in Tehillim 73. And turn to Micha, Micah chapter 6 and verse 9. When a nation is wicked, brothers and sisters, then that spirit of Hamas, of violence and oppression, that spirit of unjust gain, they are unjustly gaining today. Here it is that this vile man, Mr. Paulson, was the chairman of Lehman Brothers, a Sachs. Which one was he? The chairman of Lehman Brothers or one of those? He came from Lehman Brothers, I believe. And here not any of these Wall Street conglomerates are putting up one dime, but they are greedily having great gain and oppressing the little mother that's working for $7 an hour. The daddy that's trying to pay that $300 a month little payment. He is so pressed and driven into a community whereby drugs, gang violence, fighting, drugs everywhere, that it's not even safe for his daughter to walk the streets. She can't even go to the store. His son is trying to articulate values that are based upon some form of discipline of Torah. He's afraid because the gangbangers and the hell twisters are all after him. The mother that desired that her children be brought up in a discipline of Torah and truth. The daddy is weak as hell. He loved football more than he loved his children. He loved basketball more than he loved his wife. He's full of lies and full of folly. He loved laughter more than he loved the rejoicing of Almighty Yah. And they are wasted and they're pining away in the midst of their miserable hell. I don't make many friends. That's all right. I have a friend in Yahshua because he says, you're my friend. If you do whatsoever, I command you. So I'm going to do it. I will speak the truth. Hallelujah. How do I know it's the truth? Because it cuts Israel. It makes you upset. See, anything that you identify, if you identify with the white man, you're wicked. Because they're wicked as hell. You identify with the black man, you're twisted and full of folly. Identify with Yeshua. To hell with white men. Let them go to hell. Black men. Yah's going to save Israel. And so when you identify with that, when he cuts you, or you feel as though there's something set there, another to be said, not because you got trash in you, you must have a pure heart, a heart that is bare, that is empty, is clean, open for the refreshing of the daba of the word of Yah. Whoever that wrote me the letter, I hope you're listening today, my friend. Maybe you maybe feel. It says here in Micah chapter 6. I want you to understand that this is the constitution of the wickedness of Israel and what came out of the spirit, how the spirit of Hamas comes forth. It says in Micah 6:9, it says, Micah cries, voice cries out. Micah 6:9, what it says in those first five words there? Whose? Whose voice?
Yahweh.
Whose voice?
Yahweh.
What does it do?
Cries.
Do you understand that? Do you understand the lamenting and his vocal expression? It says, Yahweh's voice cries to the wilderness, to the city, Charlotte, New York, Los Angeles. These cities are then grave, grave panic. You understand? They're in a tremendous, because if you lose 160,000 jobs in a quarter, where is the money coming from to finance the city welfare? I said to Brother James as we were talking, I said, can you imagine some of these whole houses when their tithes and offerings, what they call their phonyism, when they're used to collecting $1.6 million every Sunday whore day? And all of a sudden, it drops down to 1.4, and they're losing $400,000 a week. Do you imagine the turbulence that caused? They have 300 people employed by them. You understand? When folks are losing their jobs, when folks are losing their homes, when folks have no financial cushion to fall back on, there's nothing safe. They would have called martial law because they're not letting you crazy folks run to the bank and get your $750,000, $800,000, or $50,000 out. You understand? You're not getting nothing. Yah even commands us, don't even put out monies to the usury. That's what the word of Yah says. You don't know the book. And so we've been deceived by the world's order. You put your money to the usury of Yah. He commands us, don't even put our money to usury. Don't even give it to the usury for interest. Because these dogs will take your money and loan it to that little poor woman for a ragged two-bit car. I walked at a place one day. I said, how much you want for that van cash? The man says, no, sir. No cash. You can get it. Bad credit. I said, no, that's not the issue. I want to pay you cash. He said, we don't sell cash. You don't sell cash? And he was a Mexican, and all the folks that went there were Mexicans and people of color. So I said, sir, I want to pay cash. No, he said, no, sir. And the one that owned the car lot were the rich fat ones across the street with their mighty new cars. So they oppress. You put your money in the bank, they take that, they borrow that. Businesses borrow the monies from the bank. And they charge interest on the money. And the businesses charge interest on that money. Listen, brothers and sisters, how can you take $11 trillion and make it into 20? That can't be. If you only have 11 trillion, then you form a deficit if you go over 11 trillion. This nation is on the brink of total chaotic debacle and destruction. This is not even the iceberg of what things are going to, this is not going to solve anything. They're going to oppress us. And they oppress us in our minds that we think that we got to do it if we don't do it. And they got these land dogs, the Democrats. Obama is no different than McCain or Biden or any of them. They're dogs birthed out of the belly of the cauldron of hell. They are men that operate by the spirit of witchcraft. They are dogs bidding the master's beard. And they will chew you to hell and chew you up and spit you out because you mean nothing to them. You mean nothing. So it makes no difference which one is in there. The Torah of Yah is not going to change for me. I don't care who's in there. To hell with Bush, Obama, McCain, Palin, the ignorant thing. And yet the world and America has just fallen heads over heels for her. Drunken husband or daughter, that's a whore, a Jezebel, a baby out of wedlock. In the community of the hood, they would say they must take responsibility. What about this little hoe? That flies around in the governor's plane and go around sleeping like a little Jezebel slut. Come on, Israel. This Jezebel hoe. One said to me one time, Pastor Roberts, do you think that they know what you're saying? It makes no difference. When I preach in the prison, I preach like this. I say, I hope they're recording me so they can hear it. Because what I say is out of the book, so I don't have any problems with one saying that I said it. Surely I said it. May not recall the exact content or the context of it, but I will concur. I said it. Hallelujah. He says in Micah that Yahweh cries out. The voice of Yah cries in the city. Well, how is his voice crying? In the prophet of Micah. That's how his voice sounds. By the living power of Yahshua. Yahshua, his word, it must be alive. It must be cried. It must be heralded from the housetop. He said, in the man of wisdom, listen now, only those that are wise, the men of wisdom, when the word of Yah cries out, the man of wisdom shall look, inspect, consider, perceive your name. That's what the man of wisdom does. He perceived the name of Yah. He began to say, this thing is happening. This must be the one that those delivered out of Mishraim, they call upon him. See, they don't want to be like the Pharaoh and say, when he searched his book, I couldn't find it. Well, when I search the scroll of Yah, I find his name. So those that are wise consider, they look, they inspect, they perceive the name. And they hear you the rod, and who has appointed it? Hear the rod, brothers and sisters. It is the rod of Yah that corrects us. Who has appointed the rod? Come on, Israel, you hear what I'm saying. Who has appointed this rod? Yah's trying to get us right in the right place, that our minds will hear what he says. Digest it, receive it, and rejoice in it. It's Yah that has appointed this. To hell with the pundits. Let them go to hell. Yah has appointed this. How do I know? Does he appoint the rain? Does he appoint the snow? He's appointed this too then. Hallelujah. He is great. He is great. He is mighty. And he is not under nobody. He's not under nobody. You understand? He's not under nobody. Period. So Yah has appointed it. Where these things are the pure, all things are pure. The things have been transpired in my way. Yah appointed that. He's going to rid his house of the false pretenders, you superficial liars and thieves and robbers, extortioners, you that listen, you eat, and there is no pulsating drive in your heart to even strengthen the works of Yah. It's amazing how people contact me and want me to do this and this and that, and they never even send one nickel of an offering. Not that we need their money. But it's more blessed to give. And they won't send one dime, one nickel. And they expect me to jump when they call or write. I will not do it. You understand? I will not. When I want to get rid of them, I tell them, send an offering. Hallelujah. Yahweh's appointed this. Verse 10. Are there yet, listen now, the treasures of wickedness in the house of the Rasha? And a scant measure that is abominable. Is that not treasure in the house of the wicked? And the scant measure, what it all amounts to is abominable.